You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Duke fans, hello and welcome to episode number 45 of DBR Bites. That's right, this is another DBR Bites coming to you on Wednesday, April 17th, 2024. We have a couple of guys entering the portal that we need to talk about, and one especially that we are very, very sad to say goodbye to. I am Donald Wine. I'm your host for this DBR Bites. I'm alongside Jason Evans. Jason, it's Wednesday. How are you feeling this afternoon? Or it's not even afternoon yet where we are, but it's getting close. It feels like it with the springtime.
Yeah. The weather's been gorgeous around here. Actually, I got to tell you. So it finally got warm enough that I had to switch my heat to AC. Mm-hmm. And I did that, and I promptly discovered that the AC wasn't quite working right.
Better now than later.
Yeah, right, exactly. It created one evening that was a little difficult and sweaty around the household, but we got it fixed the next day, and all is good here in Atlanta now.
I have the central heat, and I think that's on in this building until May 1st, so I got a couple more weeks to sweat it out in here in my apartment before it becomes summer outside and not just inside here, but I digress. We are here to talk about a couple of guys that are entering the portal and one that's kind of doing a hybrid thing. We're going to start with the big one. The big one is Jeremy Roach. Jeremy Roach announced yesterday on his Instagram that he is not only entering the transfer portal, but he's also making himself available for the NBA draft this year. Jeremy Roach has been at this school for a long time, 4 years. Jason, when I believe he wasn't even a freshman yet when we had him on this show, I was trying to find the episode. We were in like the hundreds. We are now at, you know, in the 600s with wow, a few DBR bites. So it's been a long time that we've had Jeremy Roach in a Duke uniform. So it's really sad to see him go, whether it be to the NBA draft or the portal. We almost hoped that this day would never come, but here it is. He started 106 games for Duke in his 4 years. And most importantly, he was the main bridge between the end of Coach K's tenure as head coach and the beginning of John Shire's era here at Duke. And I mentioned Jason last summer, I saw him at the World Cup, or I'm not at the World Cup, but coming back from the World Cup at the airport. We chatted for a few minutes. He's always had time for people, he's engaging. And the biggest thing is he loves Duke, which is why it's really, really sad that we have to say goodbye to him in some fashion, whether he, again, goes professional or decides to go to another school for his final year of eligibility. Jason, I'll start with you. I know we're going to talk quite a bit about Roach, but give me your thoughts on him deciding to both enter the draft but also declare that he's entering the portal.
Yeah. So what I want to do is, if we can, Donald, let's talk about Jeremy Roach, the player, and really give him his due. And then I want to have a little discussion about sort of what's going on here, because there's an elephant in the room, which is that there are a lot of Duke fans who are like, what the heck? Like, you would consider coming back to school, coming back to college, but not at Duke, you know? So I want to address that, but I want to start by doing what we really should do, which is to give all the praise to Jeremy Roach, who, like you said, arrived here 4 years ago. And frankly, look, he was a top 20 player in all the recruiting rankings, and having a top 20 player stick around for 4 years, it's kind of rare. If you
look at McDonald's All-American, about the McDonald's All-Americans that stay 4 years, there's not that many these days.
No, in fact, if you look at that 2020 class, now granted, if you look at it, you'll notice you'll be like, this is not that great a class. Like, it's not that great a class. That's just the reality, of different recruiting classes. But the 2020 recruiting class, I believe, I could be wrong, but I believe there are only two of them that are still in school, Jeremy Roach and Caleb Love. And I'm talking about like guys in the top 20. Sorry, to be clear, the top tier recruits, the five-star guys to some extent. I didn't do all the research to make 100% sure of that. Go ahead and write to us at dbrpodcast@gmail.com if I got it wrong. But just my eye test, looking down the list of the top 20, top 25 guys, the only ones who seem like they're still around are Caleb Love and Jeremy Roach. And he arrived. Look, I'm going to give you the names. Here was his freshman cohorts. Here are the guys he was with. Jalen Johnson, who didn't even make it through the first full year. DJ Stewart, who left early, probably inadvisedly. Mark Williams, got 2 years out of him. Second year was absolutely great. Jamin Brakefield and Henry Coleman, who both after one season moved on elsewhere. I mean, Jeremy Roach was part of a six-man class that became a two-man class became a five-man class before the season was even done. Became a two-man class, and then the past couple of years, he has been the senior statesman. He has been the most experienced guy on these Duke teams, and he is not a natural leader. Let's be very clear about that. But he had to take on a leadership role, and look, it is super impressive that this guy was able to improve in every measurable statistical category over the course of his career, and especially as a senior, like. As a senior, his points went up, his assists went up, his rebounds went, you name it, it went up for him as a senior. He had a fabulous senior campaign, the kind of thing that you would dream of for a kid who comes back for his fourth year. And the most significant thing that happened in this fourth year was he went from being a okay three-point shooter to being a great three-point shooter. Went from 34% from three to 43% from three. He was the fourth best three-point shooter in the ACC during conference season. He hit better than 88% of his free throws in ACC play. These are huge numbers, Donald. He was the seventh best offensive player in the entire ACC during conference season. His offensive rating on KenPom, his offensive rating his first 3 years was 103, 104, and 105. As a senior, his offensive rating went to a 121.5. That's a ridiculous jump. It is frankly a jump that you would not be able to expect. And among everyone in the country, every player in college basketball who had a usage rate of 20% or higher, guys who actually, are a big part of their offense, he had the 36th highest offensive rating of anyone in the country. And obviously the top offensive rating of anyone on the Duke team. And sort of in theme with his whole career, the fact that he was best as a senior is also indicative of the fact that Jeremy Roach was at his best in second halves, in late game situations, in crucial games. This was a guy who again and again came through when Duke needed him to. Let's be very clear about something. Coach K's career, the GOAT's career, does not end in the Final Four without Jeremy Roach being unbelievable against Michigan State in the final 5 minutes of that round of 32 game in 2022. Can you imagine how different the send-off is for Coach K if rather than making a Final Four, Duke goes out in the round of 32, which absolutely could have happened if Jeremy Roach hadn't stepped up? In the very next game, he was huge against Texas Tech. He was the leading scorer in our ACC tournament championship game last year against UVA when there were big games, when there were big moments for Duke. More often than not, Jeremy Roach was the guy with the ball in his hands, especially the past couple of years, and he was the guy who won the game for the Blue Devils. And, you know, again, the reality is getting a guy like this for 4 years, it's just uncommon. And I think we should, I'm thrilled that we had as much of Jeremy Roach as we did.
I'm going to pursue a little bit further on this because let's be clear.
I stole a lot of your material, didn't I?
No. I think it complements a lot of what I'm about to say because Jeremy Roach is one of my favorite Duke players. Like coming out of Leesburg, Virginia, right here, you know, in, you know, Metro DC, he embodied that spirit, right? In even playing for PVI, he came in with his teammate Trevor Keels, and you know, he was playing with Trevor Keels for a season, and absolutely
he started the PVI train. He started
right.
the PVI
started
train,
the PVI
you know?
train of guys coming here, you know, every single year. We got two more coming next year to add some cars to that train. But Jason, in his 4 years, you know, we kept talking about how his career just kept getting better. Like he just kept getting better and better as a player. You know, he wasn't a leader when he got here. He's a two-time captain as he departs. Like those sort of things that he learned here at Duke. And I will say this, playoff germ, March Roach, whatever you wanted to call him, was some fun basketball to watch. I was really hoping that his story would end similar to Quinn Cook's with the title. And I know his number's not going in the Raptors or anything like that, but in my opinion, he has earned a call to the Hall of Honor. I want, hopefully, and it may not be anytime soon, but I hope one day that when I go back to Cameron and I go to the Hall of Honor and I look through all the years of Duke glory, that Jeremy Roach's jersey, Jeremy Roach's name or a plaque or something is there to remind people of what he brought to this program. Duke is a much better program today because Jeremy Roach stepped on campus 4 years ago. And I will go on to say this, Jason, I know this is kind of the segue to our second part of, you know, why he's leaving or where he ends up. I mentioned that he's entering the portal. I just can't see him going anywhere else. I know there are reports that Kentucky is trying to pursue him, but first of all, ew. Second of all, he would be suiting up against this next season of the Champions Classic, and I don't see him doing that. I imagine he stays in the NBA draft, and here's where I become a homer. You can call me that if you want to, but this is the honest truth. There are not 58 players eligible for this draft that are better than him. He is a proven winner. He's improved every single year. He's a leader by example. He, as you mentioned, he can shoot well from beyond the arc. He can take it to the hole. He can take over a game if you need him to, and is a great teammate, and you know that he can improve with coaching every single year. I don't care about his height. I don't care about the fact that people think he's undersized for the NBA. I know basketball players when I see it, and Jeremy Roach is a damn good basketball player. And like I said, I care about his heart. I care about his fight, and Roach has more than that than most people in this draft. I hope he gets drafted. If he doesn't get drafted, I hope he lands on a summer league team and plays his way onto a roster, or maybe gives himself some options for the G League and playing abroad, because any team that has Jeremy Roach on their roster will be the better for it. And I end my homer statement by repeating, there are 58 picks in this year's draft. There's a couple of teams that had to forfeit picks. There are not 58 draft eligible players better than Jeremy Roach. I hope we hear his name called. I know we'll talk about that. I don't think we will. But I think the entire NBA is making a mistake if you do.
All right, we're going to move on to the conversation about. So I'm going to tell you that I think that I don't think he will be drafted. I don't think that's necessarily his fault. I don't think it's a criticism of his game. It's just sort of the nature of his body and his makeup and the way he plays that I don't think sort of fits into the way the NBA plays basketball. He's just going to really struggle defensively with his size and his physical makeup, and the NBA really, really values defense. And I think that if he chooses, he may choose to play professionally. You know, I think it's possible he would get a two-way deal from an NBA team. And I think it's possible he may choose to play overseas, but I think that if he comes back to college, I know the portal is not automatic. And you sort of implied, oh, maybe he'll decide to come back to Duke. I, I'm of the belief that if he comes back to college, he will not come back to Duke. That's not any insider info or anything like that. That's just sort of me, you know, my read on the situation.
To be clear, I didn't imply or want to imply that he was coming back to Duke. I mentioned that if he did, that I don't see him coming back to play against us in another team. I mentioned that Kentucky was a team that was reported to be widely at, you know, heavily pursuing him. And I just don't see him coming back to face us with another team's uniform. I think he loves Duke to the point. And again, this is just me hypothesizing here. I don't foresee that being something that he does. If he comes back, yes, he goes to another school, but I think a lot of fans are just not ready to see him wear another team's uniform. Most especially also not ready to see that uniform line up against us.
I don't think that if he decides to come back to college, I don't think his decision will be dependent upon who is on Duke's schedule for next year. Mm-hmm. I think he will take the situation and the NIL situation, and, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. He'll take, you know, the situation that is best for him. That happens to be at Kentucky, that happens to be at Carolina. Carolina might be a bridge too far for him, but, you know, wherever it happens to be, that's where Jeremy Roach, I think, will end up. And again, to address, there are a lot of Duke fans who are like, you know, what the heck? Why wouldn't, if this guy is even considering coming back, why wouldn't he come back to Duke? I think that we are in a new era of college basketball. And I think that there become playing time realities, not NIL realities, but playing time realities that sometimes just sort of say, you know what? Even though this place was my home for a long time, it doesn't really make sense for it to be my home going forward. I don't think that Duke is going to play much three-guard lineups next year. We already have Tyrese Proctor and Caleb Foster coming back. I just don't think there's room for another starter in the backcourt, which is what Jeremy Roach would probably expect to be with, you know, with the guards that we already have. And I'm sorry to the Duke fans who are really upset about something like that and who think this is crazy and I hate NIL and I hate the transfer, you know, people who are just ranting about this, and I've run into some of them, but we're in a brave new world. We're in a different reality. And sometimes playing time consideration becomes a big part of the decisions, even for guys who have played a lot and who figured to still play a lot. Even for them, sometimes they just go, you know what? This school isn't the best situation for me. And then the last thing I would say about it, and then I'll let you jump in again, Donald. Last thing I'd say about it is Jeremy Roach is graduating from Duke. He spent 4 years at Duke. Mm-hmm. He has made incredible connections, you know, both in the student body, among the professionals and, you know, the coaching staff and other people he's met at Duke. Well, if you were advising him, wouldn't you say, you know what? You're going to go do some grad school work while you're playing basketball? Maybe going someplace else, getting a new set of connections, a new fan base to embrace you and to be able to, you know, potentially monetize with your social media and stuff like that to have connections to. Doesn't it make some sense to do that? How much more does Jeremy Roach gain from a personal, professional standpoint doing another year at Duke versus what does he gain doing another year at a different school? I'm sorry. There's a reason Mason Gillis from Purdue is in the transfer portal after playing 4 years there. There's a reason again and again and again we see these guys who played 4 years at a school, Theo John, Ryan Young. I can list the list goes on and on and on. Guys play 4 years. They don't have negative feelings about their school. They love the school they graduated from. But they go, you know what? For the end of my career, for my final season, maybe it makes sense to go someplace else and be exposed to something different and some new people. And I think that's probably where, if Jeremy Roach returns to school, I think that's the decision he's going to make.
This whole debate, Jason, is part of a lot of, you know, emails that we've received lately about how people think that we've recruited over some of these guys. And I want to save that portion of it for another day because it's a fascinating debate. I will focus, however, on what you just said about the guys wanting more playing time. That should be the one thing that everyone is celebrating, that this is not an NIL problem, that this is not another issue. It is a issue of, hey, the guy who plays 35 minutes a game or 33 minutes a game wants to continue playing 33 minutes a game, and he knows he won't get that at one school. He wants to get that somewhere else. That has been the reason why people have been transferring for the since the beginning of time, right? Since the beginning of not even the transfer portal, we've had guys going back, you know, all the way into the 90s who said, hey, I'm just not getting playing time here. I'm going to transfer. Like, that used to be the only reason why people would leave colleges to go somewhere else. And so for him to want to play, all these guys want to play. Every single guy on this team, on any team, is competitive, and they want to play as many minutes as possible. And they want to see that they have, you know, the ability to play as many minutes as they feel like they can. And it's not that other players are holding them back, or the coach thinks that someone else is better than them. They just go, hey, I want to get more playing time. I know I can't get that here, so I need to examine my options and how to do that. But as you mentioned, Jason, I think the important thing is that when he goes somewhere else, he's going as former Duke guard Jeremy Roach. He's going as Duke graduate Jeremy Roach. He's going as, you know, for some, you know, beloved Duke fan, and for me, a beloved Duke player. And I think he's a beloved Duke player amongst his fan base, which is why we see a lot of people, you know, very sad and upset that he is choosing to test the waters elsewhere. But I do think Jeremy Roach, again, he'll make any team better. I'm just personally hoping that he just doesn't come back and drop 30 on us and Cameron with another team. But I think if he did that before the game, everyone would absolutely give him a standing ovation. And then they would not necessarily boo him, but they would boo his team throughout the rest of the game, which is exactly how he will want it. He will want us to focus on Duke and not necessarily on the fact that he's returned. But man, it's going to be I'll just leave it at that. I think Jeremy Roach is one of my, you know, beloved Duke players in the course of history. It's sad to see him go, but man, we had a great run with him, and we really appreciate it.
Yeah. By the way, my last thing I'll say is I will recommend that folks go to the front page of the Duke Basketball Report, not to be confused with the Duke Basketball Roundup. Go to the front page of the DukeBasketballReport.com, and there's an article on there called "Moving On Isn't Always Breaking Up," written by Scott Rich, our friend here on the podcast, who's filled in when Donald and I can't make it. Scott is a wonderful writer and has penned a note about Jeremy Roach's decision. And a lot of the things that you heard us saying today are reflected in what Scott has to write there. It's a very nice column, a tribute both to Jeremy Roach and also an explanation, I think, of what a lot of Duke fans are feeling today, and should validate some of the feelings that you've heard us mention on this podcast.
Spray a little raid in the air for our boy Jeremy Roach as he departs as a graduate again alongside Jalen Blakes. Stanley Borden is the only guy left on the team as of right now that was on the last year of Coach K. So we are down to one, ladies and gentlemen, of that bridge between K and Shire. Let's take a quick break. On the other side, we are going to discuss another player who is entering the transfer portal. And we learned USA Basketball, the roster that will compete at the Olympics on the men's side, will tell you who is on there, including a member of the Brotherhood, after this.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere, and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty,
and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
We are back, and we have to discuss another player that has entered the transfer portal, the fifth player that has entered the transfer portal for the Duke Blue Devils. His name is Jaden Shute. This may not come as a surprise to a lot of people. We had hinted early in the season when he decided that he was going to redshirt that a transfer was in the cards, or at least something that was possible that he was considering. And he has ultimately decided to enter the transfer portal and try to find playing time elsewhere. Jason, I will start with you because if there's any Jaden Shute fan out there bigger than you, I want to find them and bring them on the show. We haven't found them yet because you were the guy that even before I was just looking through some of the old episodes that we had. We had an emergency podcast when Jaden Shute came on, and you were like one of the first people who were like, yo, this kid Jaden Shute might be a guy that Duke's going after way back when a few years ago, when he was like a middling, like probably top 100, but at the bottom of the 100 in the rankings, and then fast shot up and everyone said, where'd this kid come from? So Jason, take it away.
Yeah. I want to say he was the second recruit when it was announced that John Shire was going to be the next head coach at
Flip was the first and he was the second. Yeah.
Yeah, and it was within days of each other that they both committed. And unfortunately, their careers did not take similar kind of tacks. Jaden Shute was a guy who just came into Duke with the reputation of someone who could fill it up in just a huge, huge way. It was impossible not to make comparisons to John Shire. There were a lot of folks who saw a lot of similarity in their games, and it just never worked out for him. I think, you know, athletically, from a quickness standpoint, in terms of his handle and things like that, he just couldn't ever quite get to the point where Duke was able to consistently play him. And then obviously he took a red shirt this past year. At first that red shirt was to sort of figure out what his basketball future was. And then even though he's practicing with the team, it was during one of those practices that he got a pretty bad leg injury, an ACL tour, I believe we eventually found out. And it necessitated that red shirt being a real medical red shirt. Look, Jaden Shute's a guy who took a total of 28 shots in his Duke career, only 28 total shots. 20 of them were three pointers and he hit 35% of them. I will always remember the game against Maryland Eastern Shore. MES, Maryland Eastern Shore came into Cameron in December of 2022. And Jaden Shute went 3 of 3 from the field with 5 rebounds. All 3 of those shots he made from the field were three-pointers. He had played 18 minutes in that game. And if you did not think that that was about to be the beginning of a storied Duke career, then you have a much better crystal ball than the rest of us. We were all certain that this was the announcement that Jaden Shute was going to be a significant player for Duke going forward. The very next game Duke had was against Wake. And it was an 11-point loss, and Jaden Shute actually played in that game. Not a lot, but he played a couple minutes in that game. And it was the only time he was able to play in what you would call a competitive game in his Duke career. I hate that it never worked out for him. I know from everything I heard that this kid loved Duke, loved John Shire, loved being a part of the Duke team. But in the end, he looked at who's on the roster. He looked at, you know, who Duke continues to recruit from year to year. And he looked at the fact that there's a lot you can learn in practice. Everyone gets better in practice. But ultimately, you got to get minutes in games. You got to play in competitive situations where the pressure is on, where your teammates are counting on you, and where you are being counted upon. And that opportunity was not going to be there for him at Duke. And he said, I need to go someplace else and find that. I think he probably goes down, you know, look, hey, going from Duke, they're like maybe 5 or 10 programs that are lateral. Everything else is going down from a talent standpoint. But I think he probably goes down somewhat significantly. I, I, I could see him looking at some Power Five conference teams. My bet is he probably looks at some of the bigger, better mid-major kind of teams. And I think he can play a significant role for some of those teams. Shooting is a super, super valuable skill. And Jaden Shoot, his last name tells it. That's a guy who can shoot from the perimeter. And I will be watching and rooting for him. I just wish that it worked out better for him. I understand why it didn't. And I understand why he's transferring. I'm just so bummed that it never really got there for him.
Yeah, we all were excited at the potential for Jaden Shoot, especially from his shooting ability. And like you said, he had some of those flashes where it made people go, oh, okay. And I will tell you, last season, there was no player that people emailed us about more than Jaden Shoot and why he wasn't playing or why he didn't get in this game or why he didn't get more minutes. There was a lot of people on board the Jaden Shoot training who believes in his talent. And I think the writing was on the wall as far as the number of guys that were coming in, the type of game that we were playing. And yes, sure, you know, shooting is something that we're always going to need. We're a team that tries to hit a lot of threes. We don't necessarily take 80 threes, but we're going to try and hit, you know, 10, 15 of them if we can. But the idea is the way the style of play that we're going to bring next year feels like, at least probably felt like to Shoot, that he was not going to be a real big part of that. And especially as they recruited a lot of swing, you know, guards that can shoot the ball. The writing was kind of on the wall for him to get playing time somewhere else. I agree with you. I think, you know, I don't know if there's a lot of D1 programs that he's going to try and go to that, you know, have at least openings right now for him to get a lot of playing time. It may be one of those mid majors, like a high mid major, that he could transfer to. Cause again, nowadays these high big majors like St. Mary's or Gonzaga, I mean, even Indiana State was on TV, like almost every single game, right? Like, you know, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is a household name, because of ESPN and ESPN Plus. So, you know, you have those things he can go to. And of course he's from Illinois, which I think kind of drew the comparisons to Shire. I think all the records that Shire had that were broken by Jaden Shoot, right? Whatever he doesn't have left. So, I mean, there is those corollaries, and I think maybe he transfers a little bit closer to home. We don't know, but I know we'll be rooting for the kid. I think he's a talented kid, and I think he's going to do well wherever he goes. And really I'm rooting for him to get the playing time that he desires and deserves, right? Like, you know, you and I, we had the stats game this year where we thought that he was going to be a more focal part of the offense, and it didn't obviously work out because he ended up doing the red shirt thing. But at the end of the day, we're rooting for him, and I hope he latches on and gets somewhere and gets the playing time that he deserves and the playing time he desires, because he's earned it. He's a great kid, and we're going to miss him. Despite the fact that he didn't appear on the court as much for Duke, we really, you know, he's a part of the program, he's a part of the brotherhood, and we wish him well wherever he goes. Jason, final word on Jaden Shoot.
Yeah, I think you hit on something that's really important that people should to think about, which is that the 2024-25 Duke Blue Devils, which are going to be built around Cooper Flagg, a generational talent, especially on defense, that 2024-25 Duke team will be built on defense. I think that you are sort of seeing, and look, we can reflect it back to the Jeremy Roach thing. If, and I'm not saying this is for sure, but if Duke was sort of kind of deciding between Caleb Foster or Jeremy Roach, I think if that decision was made and it was Caleb Foster, there's a lot of defense behind that. You know, Jeremy Roach improved as a defender over his career, but Caleb Foster's potential defensively as a guy who's 6'5", longer arms, a little bit bigger frame, is significantly higher than Jeremy Roach's. I think that Jaden Shoot looked at next year's Duke roster and said, this is a roster where they are going to need to put defensively minded guys on the floor. You know, one of the things about defense is if you got four guys playing great defense and one guy playing defense, you're going to be a defensive team. And so I think Duke really wants five really strong defenders on the floor at all times to highlight Kamen Maluach protecting the rim and Cooper Flagg impacting everything on defense. And I think Jaden Shoot may have looked at that situation along with Isaiah Evans coming in and Darren Harris and on and on and on, Con Knuppel. I think he looked at all that and he said, I can't figure out the role for me next year. So I, you know, again, we get why he did this, but I think there's some strategy behind perhaps this decision as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, we wish him well. I know at this point we're waiting on a couple more decisions to be made. You know, here or there's a couple of players left.
Yeah, they're going to come real. They're going to come very, very, very soon. I think you and I'll be recording again very soon. Let's put it that way.
Yes, I agree. So stay tuned to your feeds, because that will, whenever those decisions come out, and again, we're actively looking at guys in the portal, those can pop up anytime. Stay tuned with us, and we will obviously be here to react to it. The final thing on our rundown today is USA basketball. Of course, the Olympics are 100 days away, and this morning, USA basketball released the 12 players that will be competing on the men's side. And last night, there was reports about 11 guys that had been tapped to be on the USA basketball team with a one left over. Well, they named that 12th player this morning. So let's go through the roster real quick, because Jason, one of the members of the Brotherhood, is on this team. It is Jason Tatum. It should come as no surprise that Jason Tatum is one of the guys on the 12. He's one of the top 12 players in the world.
He's one of the five best players in the NBA right now. He's one of the five best players in the NBA right now. And several of those other players are foreign players. So
right.
Jason Tatum is absolutely going to be on Team USA.
Yes, absolutely. Let's go through the 12 guys that are on the roster. Of course, Jason Tatum's number one. You have Steph Curry, LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Joel Embiid, Devin Booker, Tyrese Halliburton, Anthony Edwards, Drew Holiday, Bam Adebayo, Anthony Davis, and the 12th player named this morning was Kawhi Leonard. Jason, what this screams to me is that USA basketball is done effing around with the rest of the world. They are coming for blood. A lot of these guys, it's funny because you and I talked about yesterday a couple of players that were kind of left out, you know, Paolo Banchero, Jalen Brunson, and this feels like, I mean, of course, you have Steph Curry, LeBron James, Kevin Durant, and Anthony Davis probably in their last.
This is their last hurrah. This is their last time. Yeah.
Last hurrah. And they all committed to this team a couple of years ago and said, no, we're done messing around. The rest of the world has been put on notice that we are coming for blood. We're coming for gold. And any notion that this is the redeem team, again, right? This is kind of that similar fight. And it's funny because we won the gold medal in the Olympics last time. It was the FIBA World Championships where we didn't get a medal. We ended up fourth, where a lot of these guys said, no, we're not doing this ever again. Let's come back and let's go out with a bang. So, Jason, your thoughts on the roster?
Yeah, you're right. It's just a ridiculously stacked roster. I think it is really interesting that this clearly, I think, just from the standpoint of their age and the such, will be the last time around for a bunch of these guys. Steph, by the way, I believe Steph Curry has never won an Olympic gold medal.
Correct.
And for him, this is going to be a wonderful, you know, cap on his trophy case, so to speak. But for a lot of these guys, you know, they're going to be, you know, they're hoping to take gold off into the sunset, so to speak. But at the same time, I think there's a really nice, interesting mix of younger guys who you would anticipate this would be, you know, the first or second of three or four, you know, Olympics for them. Guys like Anthony Edwards, Tyrese Halliburton, Jason Tatum, for that matter. Guys like Devin Booker, guys who are a little bit younger, but who are, you know, among the best players in the NBA and will form the core, the basis of the U.S. Olympic team going forward in future years. I love this roster. I'm glad that they added Kawhi as the 12th guy. I could have seen an argument for one more of the youngsters, and I think I think Paolo probably would have been a pretty obvious choice there. But it's going to be really exciting and fun to watch this team. And it is worth noting, if you haven't paid attention, 2024 Olympics are in Paris. France is coming on, and we're going to see this U.S. team take on a French team that includes Rudy Gobert and Victor Wembanyama. As a whole lot of Frenchmen on the front line. I am dying. I am, you know, as much as we think, like you said, Donald, this team's coming to take on everybody and to snatch souls and all that other kind of stuff, you cannot discount the home court situation for the French squad. And at the same time, we should note, Canada is really good. The Canadian team's going to be really, really good.
RJ Barrett will be on that team most likely. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And a bunch of, yeah. When you run down the list of who's on the Canadian team, you're going to be like, oh, that guy. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a potential, whole bunch of potential MVP Gilgeous Alexander. Like they have they have a lot of guys that are posed. And remember, they beat us in the bronze medal game at the FIBA World Cup. So I know some of these guys are like, that was initially where a lot of these guys apparently were texting each other saying, tell US soccer we're in, or USA basketball that we're in. And we're not dealing with this anymore. Nobody's coming for us. But Jason, I also think, you know, you mentioned the guys that kind of got left out. And here's the thing: on USA basketball, there's no snubs, right? It's not like the All-Star game, right? Where like there's no snubs on this thing. Like there are 80 guys who could probably be on this team. They can only take 12. So for like the Paul Banqueros and the Jalen Brunsons, remember 2028 is in LA. And I know that team is going to be one where everyone remembers 96 and everyone remembers 92. And you want to be on the team that walks into, you know, SoFi Stadium or wherever they do the thing as the USA basketball team to represent the home team, United States of America. I know I'd rather you'd almost rather have a pissed off Paulo for the next 4 years and be like, oh no, I'm getting on this roster, because he could have still four more Olympics that he could play in. He's only 21 years old.
Exactly. By the way, as long as we're talking about Duke, he's connected to this. You must shout out Grant Hill.
Mm-hmm.
Grant Hill is the guy at USA Basketball who's really responsible. He is the managing director of USA Basketball, and it was sort of his responsibility to put this team together. All the reports are that in the past few days, he met with all 12 of these guys, spoke to them personally one-on-one to say, here's what we're asking you to do. Here's our expectation. Are you in? And each looked at each one of these guys dead in the eye as they said yes. And that is no small task. For years and years and years, one of the big problems that USA Basketball has had is recruiting the best American players. And Grant
Hill, keeping them committed.
Yes. And getting them committed to putting in the work over the summer. Because, look, it's easy to go out there and go, yeah, roll the ball out there. We'll get it figured out. Uh-uh. You cannot win that way anymore. That's the way the U.S. won for a long, long time. They didn't need to even practice together. That's not the case any longer. You must work together. You must become a team, not a collection of all-stars. And Grant Hill is absolutely integral toward the fact that that is happening for USA Basketball this summer.
If that's the reason why he missed reunions this weekend, then we'll take it.
You can live with
him. If he was working, we can live. I know he just did the NCAA tournament, and now he's doing this. Take a couple days off, Grant. You should have come to reunions, but no, we appreciate the work that you put in, because it's a lot of work. And Jason, this is about also with Kay took over the program in 2006. He said, hey, I want you guys to commit to 3 years. I don't want you guys to commit to one. I want you guys here for practices. I want you guys here for team camaraderie and all that stuff, so that when that Redeem team came out in the court, you know, they're doing 30 for 30s on that team, because that team was so great. So we will leave it here on DBR Bites episode number 45. Thank you, as always, for listening. We will be back as soon as we can, as soon as we get other news about guys and their future decisions that they may have. But until then, keep it locked. Email us, dbrpodcast@gmail.com. Check out our linktree.com/dbrpodcast. Get all of our affiliate links. You can watch, you can wear, you can do everything, via our Linktree. So for now, for Jason Evans, I am Dominic Wine, and now it is time for the Duke Band to play us out and take us home.